Hey everyone, this is John.
This is Marius.
And this is Ryan.
And this is the Nintendo Show, the best day in Nintendo podcast on the internet. It's the first show for the month of August 2022. So it's the Pokemon show, you guys.
Yeah.
Oh, we got lots.
We're like a third of the way through the month.
I know, right?
And it's our first show.
things got a little bit busy.
Have you uploaded our politics one yet?
No, I haven't gotten around to that one yet.
We need to have like a little addendum to it because things are happening in the world of politics.
Oh, no, right? We're going to have a follow-up show.
People are showing up at my door for this new election today. And like just like, hey, you should vote for this guy. Here's his personal number in the back. I'm like, I'm under no illusions that's his personal cell phone number. Like, there's no way I'm believing that for...
Like they're canvassing your neighborhood?
They're knocking on the door. Can I tell you about this guy? And then today I was taking a nap and somebody like rung the doorbell. And as I'm walking the door, I was like, better not be a fucking politician person. I'm like, I swear.
The thing you gotta
say. Like, can I tell you about this guy? I was like, fuck off. Like,
Well, all you gotta do is open the door and like, hey, I want to tell you about this guy. And just look him dead in the eye and say, the only person I want to hear about is Jesus.
But you don't want to do that either because...
then they're gonna go off about Jesus.
who's the group that canvasses as well for... Like for
Jehovah's Witnesses?
Yeah, they said that, you know, during the pandemic they were not going to go door to door, but they've reinstated their door to door policy, so they're going to be out and about again if you see them in there.
Hooray!
They're clean door. White button ups.
Yeah. I'm going to start putting just a sign on the door. No politics, no Jehovah's, no. Leave your shit on the street.
No Jehovah's. God is not allowed in your home.
God's not allowed in my house.
Not since that one time.
Amazon, here, cool.
Yeah, Jeff Bezos, totally fine. Yeah. But there's a Pokemon Presents video where they shared a lot of information about a variety of Pokemon games, including Scarlet Violet, which we will get to. Well, that's going to be like the main topic for this particular Pokemon episode. So why don't we just start like we always do. Ryan, how's Pokemon Go?
It's pretty good. Things are happening. It's kind of... I'm a little unprepared for, like, everything this week.
That's okay.
I've not really done... I've barely committed to memory anything from the Direct. I have been playing a lot of Pokemon Go. I couldn't tell you why or what, but no.
Had they done... In the video, in the Presents, they talked about a community day.
Yes.
Has that happened yet, or is that something that's still coming?
Yeah, they did the community days. So what's interesting about those is that they did specific locations had community days, like Seattle had one, and I think there was a couple.
Berlin, I think they mentioned.
And I think later in August, I want to say, not this coming weekend, but maybe 2 weekends from now, they're going to be doing the GoFest wrap-up, they're calling it, because they increased the price of the ticket to go. People were pissed about this, I guess, for whatever reason. People get, you know, mad about everything these days. But they had increased the price of the Pokemon Go Fest this year by $5. But they also made it 3 days instead of one.
$5?
Yeah, I know, right? So you had 2 days worth of it. And this was, I think, back in, I want to say, it was May or June. You actually had Pokemon Go Fest. And this is supposed to be the wrap-up event where they're kind of closing out what all they've done for it. And they're giving you kind of one extra day to recollect all the stuff that maybe you missed throughout the community day events and stuff like that. So that's going to go down at some point this month. You're getting three new Ultra Beasts are going to be circulated. Mm-hmm. I think at least three. You already have Nihiligo, the rock poison one. You know, that looks like a big Manowar.
Mm-hmm.
That one already was around. You're going to get Buzzwole and I think it's Zerkatree. Is the other one, that black and white one with the weird tentacles?
Yeah, like the tentacle-looking limbs.
Yeah, so those are going to get circulated, which is pretty sweet. They introduced a new game mechanic, which I think is the first time everyone's, like, happy. Like, they did something and everyone's not mad.
Oh, okay.
So, wow. Again, I say everyone's not mad. Like, I think 95% of people that play Pokemon Go love it. And then 5%, the other 5% go on the internet and complain that other people love it. I think it's kind of how the breakdown works.
How dare you enjoy something.
Right? Yeah. So, but what they did is they introduced this 15-minute incense that refreshes every single day. So for 15 minutes a day, you're getting this special incense, which really doesn't do anything more than... it's very specific how it works. When you walk over new territory, when you actually physically walk around and cover new turf, it spawns a new Pokemon every 30 seconds. If you, like, you know, were to just do walk-in laps or walk around the block a bunch of times, you wouldn't get the spawns because you're kind of covering the same area. But if you just, like, were to walk in a direction and not really try to retrace your steps, every 30 seconds you'd get a Pokemon. It seems like it spawns occasionally some interesting stuff that wouldn't otherwise spawn. So it's kind of useful, even if you're just driving around or just, you know, like, if you make it, if you're just going to walk, like, I know I live 2 blocks away from a coffee shop. If I want to walk to the coffee shop and get a coffee, I'll just take a different route on my way back, and I'll walk, I'll get it, and that's a 15-minute thing, you know? So I'll cover my trip. The weird thing, the cool thing, there's a very slim chance that the 3 legendary birds from Arceus will be in the game.
Nice.
Yeah, which is pretty slick. I have done this maybe 10 times, and I still haven't seen one once. Mm. They're very rare. I know, like, one insanely lucky streamer got 2-on-1 use of the incense, which is impressive. You also only get one shot at catching it.
Oh, no.
It's just like any other, not one shot. There's a 90% chance it'll run away.
Hmm.
So you get the one encounter with it, and of course,
scan. 90% chance.
Yeah, like, it's just how it is. I mean, I'm probably the same odds of an Abra running away. And it's, again, it's a fucking legendary. So that's the trickier part, is that it's subject to the same odds of catching a legendary, meaning you want to use a golden raspberry, you want an ultra ball, and you want to make the most accurate throw you can, ideally an excellent throw. And even then, I think you're still only giving yourself maybe an 8% chance to catch it.
God.
So very, very slim odds of getting these things. And it's temporary. I don't think these things are always going to be like this. I'm sure maybe a year or two from now, they'll probably actually just start putting them up in raids like everything else is. So that's really, really cool. Everyone's kind of jazzed about it. Everyone's pretty happy. And it's a fun way to get 15 minutes out of the player daily. It accomplishes the things that Niantic wants to have happen, which is, one, you play the game daily. Two, you go places and do things. I mean, that's part of probably how they make their money, is just gauging how people move around cities. There's probably just a lot of useful information about tracking people's habits when they move around, shops they go to, when you think about how they're checking into places. So at any rate, it's helping them out. It's, the players are happy, so good for them. The only other thing, and at the time of recording, it's probably a little too late to let you know this, but this weekend is going to be the Galarian Zigzagoon event, which is pretty fucking sick, because the Galarian Zigzagoon, you know, I'm sure you know, it's like black and white.
Yeah.
It's evolved form. It takes on that really cool, like, blue and red color palette. So a very interesting looking shiny. So they'll be readily available. You'll have your 1 in 20 odds of catching it. It's definitely worth playing the game for a few hours on a Saturday if you like that sort of thing.
Yeah, very cool.
So I think that kind of covers it. If you, I hit level 42. I'm level 42 now.
There you go.
So just like 9 million more experience to go to the next level. So it's fun.
And they did also mention in the presents that they're going to have Pokemon Go at the Pokemon World Championships. Which I don't...
saw that. They're going to have, like, actual competitive battling with it.
Yeah, tapping and holding to competitively battle Pokemon Go.
That's weird.
It's a surprisingly deep mechanic of, like, when people, like, get into the battling and what is and isn't good against other things, and ways that you can maximize the value of a Pokemon. Because you may think that just getting a max stat Pokemon is the best Pokemon. It's virtually never the best Pokemon, based on what level you're playing in. If you're playing in a capped CP fight, like the Great League, which caps at 1500, having a max statted Pokemon is not perfect. Mm. In theory, what most builds typically want you to do is max out defense and HP and have no attack. That, therefore, you have a bulky Pokemon that can max out as close as you can to the brink, while not putting too much into attack. Because really, what the game you want to do is mostly just wear down shields and stuff like that. So.
Yeah, they play the stamina game. Like, you're not just playing your opponent's team, you're playing your opponent's. Like, the more they have to tap to wear down your Pokemon's HP, the more exhausted they're going to get.
Yeah. So. And then there's sometimes it's better to have...
you just start smiling and laughing. You're so proud of that.
Well, it's also...
Where are your finger, you son of a bitch?
They're going to get, like, carpal tunnel.
Yeah. Then we're going to play some Pokemon Go.
Yeah,
next, we're going to arm wrestle. Let's arm wrestle.
That would be a funny mechanic. Of course, they're going to have you that. There's going to be a thumb war necessary.
Oh, yeah, that'd be perfect.
Yeah.
Just leave and their fingers are just contorted. Into,
they got claws.
A ball.
They look like a Skeksis.
Like someone's tying knots.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, I'm not really big into the whole competitive thing. I do it sometimes, especially if it's an achievement I have to play. Like, I'll do it. But for the most part, I'm not super big into it. Aside from having a good team, I know we'll win when I have to do it.
Like, well, that's got to be like one of the other like major considerations with a Pokemon Go team is like your actual team construction. Because, you know, if you're playing like just a for fun playthrough in any of the mainline games, you know, your team construction is, you know, you just pick your favorites and go, and you'll be fine. When you're like playing competitively, especially with something like Pokemon Go, where you have like a smaller move pool, and Pokemon type combinations might not be as complex as they are in the mainline games. You know, so you gotta get, put thought into who's gonna work well together.
Yeah, I actually have one of those like dream competitive Pokemon in Sableye. I have a Sableye that was best friended or best buddied, so it gets a little bit of an improve. And it was originally a shadow Pokemon that I purified, and it runs Return. And again, it's that same kind of scenario where it's got really high defense, really high attack, and virtually no, really high HP and no attack. And you just can't break through the fucking thing. It is just an absolute wall. It is so hard to just break through Sableye. And I run that, and then I'll usually run something like I have an Azumarill. It's really good. So I'll be running that, and then typically either stun the Galarian or whatever, Stunfisk, is it Galar?
Yeah.
It's like the Steel Ground.
Yeah, yeah.
Either that or a Skarmory, because they're both just fucking jerks. But that is like a really, really good team.
Nice. So at this Pokemon presentation, they talked about the World Championships, they talked about Pokemon Go, they also talked about Pokemon Masters.
And that's all we're going to say on that.
And they talk about Pokemon Cafe Mix, where you can have Victini be your chef, apparently. And they talked a little bit about Unite, didn't they?
They did talk a little bit about Unite. Unite's got some stuff going on. I just turned it on to see what was going on, because I haven't logged in a few days. But he gave me a prompt that Tyranitar is going to be there in 6 days.
Oh, there you go.
So we got Tyranitar. They got Glaceon, which the EVs, they do events where as long as you just play it, you're getting the whatever currency, and then eventually you'll get Glaceon.
Hmm.
Like, one thing that bugs me about this game is that it bombards you with shit. Like, you got your coins, you got, like, these
Your
ticket stuff.
All your currencies.
They now have emblems.
Great.
And there's, like, 100 different kind of, like, not that many, but there's, like, 20 different.
Get your gold and your gems and your diamonds.
Well, what you log in is like, here's your daily reward. So here's these games. Here's the special event going on. And you have to go through all these different menus for like, this is bullshit. Like,
gross.
I don't need all this. But there's a dot on everything when there's new, so I have to go take care of my dots.
Right, you gotta clear out the menu so that you don't have like those notifications there.
It's fucking annoying until we play the game. But if you haven't played Unite in a while, they implemented this new I really like a mechanic, but it's an emblem thing. Where before they had this, what's the thing called? It's like a boost thing where you play X amount of games and it's a tank. And when your tank fills up, you can open it up, a crate. And before it was just like a cosmetic thing for your guy, like clothing and stuff. But now you can choose that, or you can open up the tank for these emblems. And there's a bunch of different emblems for different Pokemon. There's like a Bulbasaur emblem and just tons of them in there.
It sounds like you're describing loot boxes.
It's essentially a loot box, but you can't buy any. So it's not a loot box that's like microtransactions. It's just, you just play the game and you get energy and then you can open up their loot box.
Can you buy energy?
No, with money. Not to my knowledge.
No, you
can
don't
buy anything in this game.
You don't buy
it. I just want to inject a couple $100 into it.
Right.
That I can notice that you put money for is either like skins for your Pokemon or just to buy more Pokemon so you can play. Because you can slowly get gems to like unlock them with in-game currency, but you can just pay money and get them.
Are you going to do this Pikachu event thing?
Yeah, I mean, that's already been going on.
So everyone is Pikachu?
I don't really... That was a weird mode where you go into, it's a 4-on-4 match, and it's a slightly smaller arena.
Yeah.
But you only can play Pikachu, and the wild Pokemon are Pikachus, and it's just a whole bunch of Pikachu everywhere. That's all it is. It's just, it was fun. I played a couple of rounds of it. Yeah. It's just a whole bunch of Pikachus. There's a Dynamax Pikachu instead of the Zapdos in the middle and near the end of the match. Like,
I think it would be great if every match started with just like a Raichu in the middle and they just put it like directed a cannon towards the sun and just shot it. Be like Pikachu's only, everybody. No Raichus.
I wonder if there's a Pokemon they regret creating more than Raichu.
I think that they're
Raichu's fine.
I don't think Raichu's all that bad either, but clearly like they leaned heavily into Pikachu from early on. Like, yeah. Raichu, why do you even exist anymore?
Well, the cognitive dissonance that they must have felt too when they're like, no, we actually like Raichu so much, but we'll win Raichu.
Mm.
Like, you know what people are gonna like? It's a surfing Raichu. You know? Isn't that cool, everybody? And they're like, I don't think we care.
Nah, Pikachu. Still Pikachu. Mm-hmm.
But these the emblems.
Oh yeah.
You can set up, I don't know how many, but you get like this, you can equip different emblems to do different stat adjustments. So all the emblems are going to have a negative stat and a positive stat. And so you pick different emblems or different colors or different kinds of emblems. Like they'll boost special attack, but you'll lose HP or you'll lose crit, but gain this.
So it's kind of like Nature's.
Yeah, it's like a passive.
So you can use these things to sort of like try to balance out a Pokemon or lean into their strengths.
Yeah. And the annoying thing about it is it doesn't seem like I haven't messed with it too much because I don't have a whole lot of emblems because you have to fucking unlock these emblems through this weird energy tank thing, which you get a bunch of them. It's not that bad. But it looks like that's something you set up before you go into the game. And so if you want to like switch up which Pokemon you're going, you're not going to have like a bunch of different emblem layouts. You have that one. So I don't see how that would be. It's a weird thing. You're not saying, this is my emblem layout for my Glaceon, and this is my emblem layout for my Buzzwole. Like, it's just the same one you're using, unless you change it in between rounds, which is very slows you down. I don't know. It's weird. I don't understand the emblems. But they just came out with Buzzwole, and he's weird.
He's popping up in Pokemon Go, too.
Yeah.
He's jacked.
Just a big Buzzwole. He's really funny to watch, because he's just, like, punching you like crazy. And then he has this one ability that's like Leech Life where he dashes in and then immobilizes you and then drains life out of you. It's just funny to watch this big ripped mosquito going around punching people. It's funny. But yeah, it's a fun game. I play like a couple of rounds here and there. Sometimes if I just want to get to like three matches for one of my daily bonuses, I play the Boss Rush mode, which is it's only 5 minutes. You just fight three giant Pokemon as it's you against the computer with three other people.
So it's a non-competitive mode?
Yeah, it's a non-competitive. You're just trying to take all three of them out before the time runs out and that's it.
Mm.
So it's like a quick, easy way just to get through my dailies if I wanted to. I don't really care a whole lot, though.
But how are you going to get your...
I got my Glaceon, so we're fine.
How are you going to get your Energon cubes? Whatever the fuck they call them.
Shit, it's insane. And then they got their battle pass where you get rewards from playing the game, but if you buy the battle pass you get extra rewards.
Mm.
And it's all like cosmetic shit, and like, there's like so much shit. If they open up like my items tab, it's all this crap that like who cares. They're like, here's a 7-day boost to your coin. And I'm like, fuck guys. Like,
and if you get through this boss rush, you'll get to the Protobot who crashed to the planets. And if you get to him first, they'll become a Maximal instead of a Predacon. That was just for you, Wes.
Predacon.
It's a Beast Wars reference.
Is Predacon a thing?
In Beast Wars, yeah. I think they were called Predacons.
Were they Predacons?
Yeah, and Maximals.
Do you guys actually watch that show?
I liked Beast Wars. How dare you, sir?
Long, long ago.
I remember that show just being so lifeless. It was so far removed from anything human, and the characters were so boring. I was just like, I remember watching it and being like, humans never existed. And it's like, I am in no way could I associate with anything that's happening right now.
I think it was supposed to be like beasts. Pre-humanity. I mean, we'll like rewatch the entirety of Beast Wars and give a further breakdown.
Okay.
I think they were like, because I don't know.
Quite a bit of episodes. I mean, I was a kid, but I remember it getting like dark. Like, people were dying and shit. I'm like, this is a kid show. Again, what's
there
going
were
on?
People. Robots were dying.
Robots were dying, not actual people. Robot animals that transformed.
I just remember that, like, that being the sort of, like, impetus for, like, the first few episodes of the show is, like, every so often there'd be, like, a casket with a robot in it, like, crashing toward the planet, and then it was a rush to get to the casket first. Yeah. Because that would determine which faction that they became part of. But speaking of the show being lifeless, yeah, there are, like, coffins that were orbiting the planet for some reason, and then, like, oh, let's get them and make them a mammal, and they're like, no, we're gonna get them and make them a dinosaur, and then they'd fight.
Yeah, and then you'll get weird ones, like, there was a giant ant. Mm-hmm, like, what's the point of turning into an animal if you're going to be like, well, that's clearly one of the other robots because that ant is thousands of times bigger than a normal ant. So, I mean, I don't see the point in it.
Okay.
I don't know.
Well, you know,
the ant guy was weird to me, all right? It was a completely disproportional ant.
It was a kid's TV show.
And the scorpion, there was a scorpion.
The point was...
But there were bugs that didn't make sense.
The point was, like, you sit your kids in front of the TV so they leave you the fuck alone for 30
and
minutes.
And then there was a raptor who kept changing sides. I still don't know what side he was on.
I think doesn't matter. He's not a Pokemon.
Remember they were just like, oh, kids like trucks and planes. Maybe we should just make some truck ones and some plane ones and everyone will be happy. And they're like, no, how's about we make it so that they're fucking...
Dinosaurs
and ants and shit.
Kids like dinosaurs.
Optimus Prime was a gorilla.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
There's a rat.
Yep, sure was. There are rat Pokemon, too. But we don't know if Rattata is in Scarlet and Violet.
But you're trying so hard to say.
Because they didn't. I brought us back around. We circled all the way back.
Well, it could be that we get another regional variant. About it, like, Meowth got two regional variants.
Yep, sure.
Nothing holding them back from doing that.
And so far, it doesn't look like he's getting a regional variant this time around. Because they did show Meowth in a previous trailer, and then in this Pokemon Presents, they showed Persian.
And they finally made him usable in the latest one.
Oh, yeah. For the Berserker?
Yeah, Berserker actually is good. Well, he's not amazing, he's fine. But
you're backtracking quite a bit there.
Still, like, I'm not using a Persian, but I will use a Berserker.
In Gen 1, you want to use a Persian. It's going to crit every time.
Like, every time.
I mean, unless you're trying to, like, get through the game at a low level possible and you want to use the badge boost glitch, but that negates... Never mind. So I got a bunch of highlights from this Scarlet Violet trailer. They showed, a 3-minute trailer, and then they gave a breakdown video. They showed a lot of new stuff, which is very cool. First up, your version's legendary is also your vehicle. I think that we all talked about that when we talked about how they're all, like, decked out in wheels. Like, oh, you'll probably ride these things. Yep. You indeed ride them, except for the Scarlet version, legendary. It's got the wheels, still uses legs, though. Like a Pokemon should. And it's your kind of your fast travel, and also how you're going to traverse terrain, like you would expect, like with your bike and Sword Shield.
It looks like they gave you a glide mechanic, they did from Arceus.
Yeah, they give you the glide for probably even faster travel, because you're covering more terrain. But it's also how you're going to go across water. There's also a climbing. You can show, like, scaling a cliff, which is pretty cool. It might be how they gate you off from certain areas until you unlock that ability. So, yeah. I think...
Maybe they make you get extra stamina wheels.
Oh, yeah. You got to go to the shrines to get the little orbs to buff up your stamina.
I like this.
Yeah, but you need, like, how many orbs?
Four. Yeah.
Man.
But you got to choose between that or more HP. And then...
That's rough.
Yeah.
That is rough. But, I mean, there's so many out there. You're eventually just going to max both out.
It's true. Just, do you want to prioritize, longevity in a fight or the...
So Skidoo is back.
Skidoo is back. He was your ride Pokemon in a different game.
That's a good point. He was.
But, Wes, you brought up a good point off air about the ride Pokemon being the legendary and having a cool, like, being... it. Being like a mechanic in the game earlier on rather than
like the weird bullshit late game, like, sure, we're doing this now, why not? Like, it's just...
And now here you're obligated to catch the legendary, and
they were trying so hard in Sword and Shield to make them relevant to the game with a little bit of story throughout the thing. Like, we need something to beef up the story.
Yeah, we'll have these legendaries show up to help you with the fight against the big bad,
and then who gets crowned?
I just hope they cradle me like a baby as we walk over really sharp rock.
God, I miss that so much. I want that in every game.
That does remind me, Ryan, we talked about it off air on a different show. Maybe we'll talk about it on the mini show, but I've been watching The Tick.
Oh, boy. Oh, yeah? What do you think? Is you enjoying it?
Oh, yeah. That show was a hoot.
Now I got to watch it.
But there is the one part where he's rescuing the scientist out of the underground lair and has to carry him like a baby.
Yeah. That's pretty great.
Anything else about writing this legendary that we want to touch on? I think it's pretty much what we expected.
I can't really tell what they're going to do. Is it like... I think it would be a cool idea, but it could just be me spitballing that this would be a cool idea. It would be to have it be an evolving legendary. So like early on, you know, maybe you have it and it does the sort of the needful, right? It just gets you through with your surfing and your flying and shit. But then towards the end game, it actually does 600 stat up. You know, it becomes like an evolved, really badass one. Because frankly, like, they don't look like legendaries.
That'd be really interesting.
They're pretty underwhelming when it comes to, like, a legendary.
Right.
That would be really interesting, though. Like, you start out with this thing that's, you know, you could use it in a fight, but it's kind of underwhelming. Or, like, it's an early form, and then, like, as it gets more skills, like you're saying, it gets stronger in fight.
Yeah, you unlock the new form of the Monado.
Exactly. Yeah. And like, that's the Monado's power.
Yeah.
Or you just get good grades at the school.
Oh, I hope there's tests. I hope there's tests with charts and graphs.
Did you do enough extracurricular activities? Did you join the swim team?
I hope you have
the debate team.
I hope you have to like enter test answers, but you have to type them in using the Switch analog sticks and buttons.
How much of a nerd would you have to be to play Pokemon Scarlet Violet and join the chess club? I mean.
That would be cool because it would mean like
no hope on a social life.
Maybe it gives you benefits of like psychics or something. Like I feel like you know, maybe that it would help you like get special abilities.
Oh, now we're getting to like a Persona Pokemon crossover. Like the school activities. You join the swim team, it gives you a buff to like
water types. Like the wrestling team gives you fighting type.
There's like some sort of horticulture club.
Yeah. Oh, I'm on board for this. Oh. Mm-hmm. See, the game's not out yet. You guys can do this still.
Game Freak, call us.
Feel free. Yeah, just give us a call. We'll make the game for you. It's fine. Making games are easy. We got
this. Like, don't worry. We're making another one in a year. We already are out of ideas.
Anything else about they did mention a school setting. I imagine it's going to have some sort of importance to some sort of progression method in one of the storylines that they're going with.
It's probably going to be like a dumb thing you'll just touch back on here and there just for story reasons.
Like the,
and
then
you're
like
just going to not be there at all.
Like the thing in Arceus where you had to go back to like the club, the Explorers Club or whatever it was in like, that game.
We need you to go to this region and throw shit at this Pokemon.
Because they did like mention a bunch of times, like, oh, there's three different stories. One of them is going to collect your gym badges, and then there's two other ones. And then like mentioned like treasure hunts. So maybe it has something to do with like, hey, you're part of a treasure hunting club, and that's how you buff up your dark types, or something. But yeah, it'll probably have something like a back and forth, but. I mean, now that we're talking about it, I kind of want it to be like more involved.
Your woodworking, that's how you buff up your grass. Mm. Although that seems a little dark.
How do you buff up your fire types? Is there an arson club?
Maybe get into the cooking club or something.
Yeah, maybe.
There you go. That would work.
Yeah. I can see that working for fairy types, too.
Steel would be your auto
Gives
shop.
Them an opportunity to unveil Fuego del Queso.
It's true.
Right?
Yeah, perfect.
Can we discuss how boring Quaxly is compared to the other two?
No, because you're wrong. Don't you make fun of that duck.
The Trump duck. I mean, that's the one I'm going with. Because you're going Fuecoco.
Uh-huh.
You're going the other thing.
Sprigating dong.
Yeah. We do need to mention really quick. We're also going to be back to this. But before like the presentation video started, they had like costume characters for all three of the starters. And they like waved and they started walking off screen. And Sprigatito, like the costume character, was upright on two legs. Motherfucker.
Don't start with that. I don't need to hear that.
Get down.
That's bullshit.
Get down on those four legs. We don't need to see this. But yeah, what were you saying? Oh, you were talking trash about Quaxly.
Yeah. Because, you know, that way we get the coverage, I'll pick Quaxly.
Not that it matters.
No.
The starter's getting benched.
I'm hoping that Trump duck gets some.
As soon as I find Mareep, it's gonna be like, six Mareeps.
I don't think it's that much of obviously Gumshoe is the Trump Pokemon anyways.
It is, but he's got that Trump hair.
don't know. There's
I think it was you that pointed out to me, and now that's all I see.
Yeah.
Could we make an entirely Donald Trump Pokemon team with Yungoos and Quaxly? Is there a Pokemon that flushes sensitive documents down a toilet?
Ooh, I don't know if there is. I mean, he is a giant pile of human waste, so you could probably make
Garbodor.
Garbodor.
Yeah, that's good. Know,
that seems fair.
Anyway,
is there one that builds walls? I don't.
He didn't build a wall either. Thank God. Thank God he was bad at his job. We did get some new Pokemon in addition to the starters. Oh, I think it's also worth mentioning that you can have the starters follow you around, as all Pokemon should. And I think it has been confirmed that any Pokemon can follow you around.
Okay, probably like they did in the... which one was that?
The expansion? Yeah.
Silver, that just your first Pokemon in your team.
Mm-hmm. They showed a new Pokemon, Fido, the bread dog thing.
Sure.
It's a fairy type.
Oh, I didn't know that. I thought it was a normal.
And Katitan. I think it's a sea titan, something like that. The ice whale looking thing with the horns.
I think it's Katitan.
Katitan? Sounds about right.
Mm-hmm.
It's an ice type. We got a couple of new Pokemon there to go along with LeChonk and Smoliv, and I think there'll be a couple others.
How about they just give the ice type another thing that it resists?
I think that they do need to do some balancing here. And, you know, they did mention an ice type gym leader. They mentioned this new ice type Pokemon. Maybe they're trying to give the ice type a little bit of a buff here. We'll see.
It's such a weird thing, but I was so excited to see an ice gym leader because I didn't play Shield. So I didn't have an ice gym leader. So I haven't had fun ice gym leader till since Diamond Pearl way back in the day, right?
I mean, ice. If we were to go generation by generation, I think like the ice has pretty good representation in gyms and Elite Four. For one reason or another, and it's a pretty weak type in my opinion.
Yeah.
But
X and Y for sure had a. There's like Snowbell or something like that.
And in Gen 1, Lorelei probably the strongest member of the Elite Four.
There was a surprising number of ice types in the Alolan region, which is weird because it's like fucking Hawaii and there's no ice there ever.
I just like the type. It's definitely the weakest, but I always like the type.
In Gen 2, Bryce is an ice type gym leader. Yeah. Gen 3, I'm not so sure. I don't remember. Oh, wasn't there an Elite Four member who used like a Walrein or something? Anyway,
whatever.
Not important. We got a regional variant, I think. This may be the first regional variant we've gotten confirmation, but it's Wooper, the ground poison version of Wooper, who's all brown and the internet has dubbed Pooper for obvious reasons. Bam.
How did they not see that coming? I know.
Maybe they did. Maybe they knew and they leaned into it.
It was an obvious joke. They're like, no, we're making this happen now.
Any other regional variants that you guys can think of or that maybe you'd like to see?
I just want to see a new Eevee.
New Eevee would be cool.
I'd like to see a new Eevee. That'd be fun. Maybe do a regional variant for like something like a Pinsir, or maybe even an evolved form or a pre-evolved form of Pinsir. I like to see older Pokemon get either new forms or pre-evolutions or maybe even a regional variant just to kind of shake things up for them.
I really liked how
Zigzagoon and Linoone got a regional variant and an evolved form in Galar. That was really fun.
How's about Sock and Throw, but they're a different type now? Sock and Throw both get to, they're both fighting types, right? But maybe this time around they both get to be like psychics or something.
That'd be cool.
You know?
I want to see some of the Arceus ones in here, like Ursaluna, whatever that Scyther evolution was.
Cleaver.
Mm-hmm. I want to see some of those guys get in here.
Sneasler.
Sneasler was great.
But yeah, it'd be nice to see Sneasler back in.
You actually use them in a traditional Pokemon game.
Because
Arceus, the battling was there, but it really wasn't. It was very watered down in a sense.
The primary gameplay in Arceus was catching, and they nailed it. Catching in Arceus is really, really fun. But like the actual like mechanics of battles were distilled down to
pointless. I like to make a strategy like an actual competitive Cleaver or whatever.
I mean, if not in like catchable in the main game, they did show Scizor, so there is like some representation for Scyther in there. Maybe Cleaver will be in there. But Arceus is compatible with Bank now, so maybe, you know, by the time we get a little ways into Scarlet Violet, bring him over.
That'd be pretty cool.
See what happens.
It says here that this will be the first time Deerly has been available in over a decade.
Yeah.
Just in the wild.
Yeah, yeah. And they did show...
Which one's Deerly?
Sawsbuck. Deerling Sawsbuck.
Has the four different
for that one.
And we did see a couple of different variants. We saw the autumn one as well as either the, I think we saw the summer one. And it looked like they were in different regions, so it might be more of a regional thing as opposed to like a seasonal thing. But it'd be cool to see seasons make a return.
Is that just a normal type or is it a grass?
Normal grass.
Normal grass.
Yep.
That'd be interesting to use.
Also, they're saying Makuhita, Pineco, Fanfi, Giraffe Rig. Are all going to be readily available for first time in a long time.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah, and I think Pineco would be cool to see him have a regional variant as an evolved form. But we did see some much improved visuals, I think. Like the lighting effects are a lot improved, the shadows, the textures. Textures aren't great at distances. They don't render much detail when you're like up high gliding or like surveying something. The further you get away from stuff, the less they render, so the worse it looks. But like the frame rate for Pokemon, like there's a lot of Pokemon on the screen and somewhere further away, the frame rate is a lot more consistent and stable than we saw in Arceus. Pokemon have different animations. One that I've seen mentioned and pops out is when you see like all the Houndour and the Houndoom walking around, one of the Houndours is actually lying down. So it looks like they're doing more than just kind of wandering aimlessly. They might be doing other things as they're just kind of inhabiting the area. So
I mean, video games, with the Switch and everything, I was like, there's a limit to them. But after seeing Xenoblade 3, I'm like, wow, this thing does a lot more than I thought it could.
And Xenoblade... And
that is a big ass key.
And you know, we'll talk about Xenoblade a little bit on the mini show. We'll set a time limit so we don't bore Ryan to death.
We need to do our own dedicated thing. Yeah. We can't slip it into mini.
But it will be worth mentioning the visuals in that game and where it really succeeds and some of the things that could have been improved upon, but maybe on this particular piece of hardware. But there are a lot of instances where the Switch overachieves. What we think it should be doing.
Like, this is crazy. So, I mean...
Yeah. You guys, anything stick out to you about the visuals for Pokemon in these trailers?
I think it's great that they have visuals.
Yeah, I am pro-visuals. They're
bringing those back.
Yeah, yes.
It's they were. In color.
That would be great if they went for a black and white look, like it was going to be a detective.
Black and white, sprite-based.
Noir Pokemon game.
As long as it's a double jump.
Like, who murdered this Raichu?
Is it Mad World? Was that the game that was all black and white except for the blood?
Yeah, yeah. I was actually talking with my buddy Chris at work about Mad World, because for whatever reason, he recently got into... games that we'd be talking about on the retro show, like Game Boy Advance, GameCube. He started like poking into like the Wii library and like, oh, well, definitely like check out Mad World, because he was really enjoying like he played through Wind Waker and I was like, oh, now I'm gonna try Pandora's Tower. So nice. Like, well, you were like diving in real deep with those two. Try Mad World. Mm-hmm. Gotta recommend No More Heroes as well.
Oh yeah, that'd be a good one.
But yeah, gyms are back.
Hand him Xenoblade.
I'm not giving him any of my shit. Oh, he's acquiring
more fine tastes.
He's playing these games through, let's say, less than ethical means.
Oh.
But gyms are back. We mentioned before.
Thank God, I was worried.
They did.
I like gyms.
Yeah, me too. I thought you were being sarcastic.
No, I'm not being sarcastic. I wanted my gyms. After they did Arceus, I was like, oh no, don't tell me gyms are gone now.
Matt, gyms are back. they say that you can do them in any order you want. I don't know if they've confirmed whether or not they will scale with your level, or if it'll still be like, here's the recommended first gym, and it's going to stick at level 10.
I mean, if it's any order you want, it's got to be either scaling. Or you just go walk into one and be like, okay, I'm way not ready for this, and then leave. And that's not an order. Like, that's...
Yeah. Yeah, it it kind of undercuts the do it in any order you want. If it's you can grind up really high and go do what would be the eighth gym first and then do it in reverse order and really beat up what would be the first. And then plus, like, do they have
Marata. All right, great. Here's my Charizard.
Do they have that mechanic?
Or maybe you just do the sturdy nose pass with the
Recycle and the berry. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you win the game.
the level one nose pass?
Yeah.
Unless they, if they're bringing back the mechanic where, like, hey, only Pokemon up to this level will listen to you unless you have this badge. Like, they can say any order, but if they implement, like, the same leveling system, the same, like, obedience system, it really does kind of funnel you down a certain path. So, they, like, I think it's definitely the realm of possibility that they go that exact route. I think it's also possible, maybe not likely, that they scale with you. If they really wanted to really have some bold game design, they could say, there's 8 gyms, they're all at level 80. Good fucking luck.
That would be pretty
cool.
Yeah.
I actually would like that.
Me too.
I have to level up until I can take the gyms on. That would be pretty cool.
Yeah. So the gyms are actually like the more of the end game challenges rather than, like, go do this one, now go do this one.
I mean, at the same time, though, Pokemon always was like, you got to travel through the world to get to the gyms and everything like that. But the gyms are the end game. You travel through the world, and then you just knock out the gyms all at once.
Or maybe they could do, like, a happy medium where, and, you know, some like, Heart Gold Soul Saver did do this where, you know, you take on the gyms, and then once you've gotten through all the gyms, then you can, like, re-challenge the gyms with their super teams.
Yeah, but... I don't know. It was just fun. It was like, now I have to get to this level, take on this gym, and then... I don't know how they're going to do it.
Yeah, it was a way of guiding your progress. And it seems like they are taking, like, some of the training wheels off in, like, the main story of the game to where, you know...
I mean, the franchise is 20-some years old now, so...
Right.
It's about time.
Well, the thing to always remember with Pokemon is that every Pokemon, like, new generation they put out, they're directly aiming at, okay, now we want to recapture a new audience. We want to get, like, the...
Yeah, I mean, every generation is someone's first time playing Pokemon.
And that's what they're always calibrating, like, that main progression through the game for. Is like, this is your first time playing Pokemon, you got to learn some of these basics here.
Just give me the option to learn the basics. I don't need to watch you catch Pokemon again. I just don't.
It's like what we talked about Xenoblade really briefly.
Yep.
On the official show, like, the first thing before you, like, see, before the main cinematic opening proceeds, gives you the question, have you played a video game before? Yes or no?
Yep. Are you aware of what it means to topple something?
Have you tried toppling? Have you done this?
Like, in general, in life? Like, I don't...
That's how you overcome every obstacle
just
in life.
Just topple. Cast a video of a cat, like, knocking a cup off a table.
Ryan, do you have those business reports for me? Yeah, topple.
So, did you put your cover letter on the TPS report? So, hang on, I had some other things. Oh, yeah, we haven't talked about the, hang on, I wrote it down because I'm not sure how to pronounce it, even though they said it like 5 times.
Every day on top of them.
Terrestrialize? Do you guys have any thoughts on terrestrializing Pokemon? It's like the Mega Form / Gigantamax.
I mean, it doesn't look like their moods are changing or anything, so I think right now it just looks like it's there just to add a new type to the Pokemon randomly.
Or, and I think, like, context is going to be important, or, like, change their type entirely. Because it seemed like when they showed Eevee in particular, it was like, okay, well, you...
No, it has a third type.
Oh, that'd be amazing. That'd be so fucking good.
That'd be sweet.
God, get out the spreadsheets. Like, what is this thing we did strong now? Like, what the fuck?
It's this
fighting psychic dark type.
Dark and a poison and a ghost. It's weak to everything, but immune to everything at the same time. So,
yeah, I mean, I don't know. I feel like I think I'm going to like it more than Z moves, but I don't think I'll like it any more than any other mechanic they've ever introduced.
I still really like Mega Evolutions.
I feel like they're not showing us everything about it. I feel like there's going to be something more than just simply it changes a Pokemon's type, because if that's all this thing does, then I just hope the animation doesn't take a long time.
It gives balloons to Pikachu. What else do you want?
Yeah, I mean, that's cool. I mean, I guess if it means they have different looks, and I just hope it... I mean, I don't think it's going to be something that you could just permanently toggle on. Because if it means that every time I start it up, I've got to go through this cycle animation of doing all this stuff, it's just...
It's probably going to be like Mega Evolutions, where you can cut that cinematic down.
Yeah.
I think, like, it is also, like, similar to a Mega Evolution, where there are conditions that have to be met in order to actually execute them. Like, with a Mega Evolution, you can only do it, like, once per fight and only to one Pokemon.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's exactly how these... terraforms are going to work, but there is some sort of economy to when you are using it.
Yeah, it is sort of at this point they feel very perfunctory. It feels like it's just something they feel like they have to do.
Yeah, have some sort of twist or gimmick on the fights. Yeah, and I do think that this has some fun implications for like a competitive scene, because they mentioned that like some Pokemon might have multiple types that they would change into when they use their terraforms. So that might be kind of interesting.
There could be some real very rare Pokemon in that regards to be able to say that, you know, I have a
dark type Gardevoir.
Right. Yeah. Like that could be pretty cool. But
That might be something fun to like pivot into if you know you're basically kind of like using a Zoroark gimmick where like, hey, here's something that you expected to be, but I just activate my Terra crystals and now it's a completely different type that's going to counter the thing you tried to just counter me with.
Yeah, and also that they all end up being hats, like, or I guess like, what are they, rings and stuff like
some
that?
Some sort of like it's ostentatious.
Yeah. You know, it feels like they could have done something a little cooler.
Destroys their balance.
I don't know. Again, at this point they kind of have to do it, so they're doing it. Like, it's cool, but it's certainly not making me want to play this game any more or less.
It kind of makes you wonder what... let's just assume that they have to choose one or the other. Like, maybe they don't. It's a multi-billion-dollar company. They sold a ton of games. They could probably do both if they wanted to. But if, like, you had to choose between...
I mean, the real money's in Cafe Remix, but...
That's true. That's where the bread is buttered. They have like all of these different character models that they have to make for these terrestrialized Pokemon. Would you rather like have all these different character models for these new forms, or would you rather have them like have different animations and be doing like weirder, funnier things actually out in the open world as you're walking around catching things and battling?
They could feel more organic.
Yeah, if it were me, I'd go for more personality over just a different type of mega form. But you know.
Yeah, same.
They're just mega forms. Like, it's just these 12 or whatever, however many mega forms, and that's it. Like, we're not. Use them if you want or don't. Like, I'd rather just mega forms. Give me mega forms again.
Yeah, and I think that goes to Ryan's point, where it seems like every generation they want to mix it up. Whereas, if they found something that worked, like mega form, maybe just stick with the thing that worked and try to iterate on it. It's weird, like, the things that maybe they should take more risks and experiment, they don't really. And then the things where they should iterate on, like, just mega forms and refine that, they don't. They just decide to change things up drastically.
I just have to throw that in the bin. Let's grab something else.
Yep. Time for a different idea. That's effectively the same idea.
Yeah, but, like, I mean, and again, you know, we sit in 2022, but I assume in 4 or 5 years we're still going to be playing this game. Two generations from now, we're gonna look back at this and be like, oh yeah, I remember they fucking crystallized shit.
they changed types. It was amazing. I had an Umbreon who was a fairy type.
Yeah, it's like this does not look like something that they're like, this is the new vision for the next decade of Pokemon. It's like, yeah, we had to do something. We did something.
I think it will try to speak to the compulsive collector and the people who play these games, because if Pokemon can have different types that they take on, like I think we mentioned Eevee before, Eevee can take on multiple different types depending on what kind of Eevee you catch. So like, well, I want to get all of the Eevees for all the different types it can turn into. So I know, just another thing that taps into the gotta catch them all mantra.
Yeah, living decks with all the terrestrialized.
Living decks for all the different types of terrestrialized Pokemon for all the different species, yeah.
In every stage of its evolution.
Uh-huh. So, oh God. I do have a couple of things I wanted to ask you guys. There were some Pokemon that they showed out in the field that might have been different sizes or could have just been like perspective. It was more than likely perspective. Do you think things like alphas make a comeback or Pokemon that are different sizes, like a fucking giraffe rig that's bigger than other giraffe rigs you see out in the field? Think something like that makes a comeback, or you think that's something that's confined to Arceus and that's where it stays?
I think that needs to stay in Arceus, the alphas. Because that was just a fun thing for that, but I mean...
Well, I mean, weight and size have always been mechanics of the game, so it would make sense that they just do that, but I don't think it would be like in the...
Actually start to use it as a mechanic? I think Pumpkaboo is one of the only Pokemon I can think of where the weight and size of it actually made a difference.
See, it'd be cool if you could visually see the difference in weight and size, but not necessarily an alpha. Like, this Pumpkaboo is a little bit bigger, so I want that one, or that one for that one move, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Like, that would be cool.
Well, I mean, there are moves that are based on weight.
Yeah.
So, like, and there are different weights for different Pokemon. Maybe I'm thinking more about Pokemon Go, because, like, in Pokemon Go, you know, you actually, the weight is very clearly measured for you.
Hmm.
So, and, like, the size of them is charted, so it's, like, you know you're looking for certain size Pokemon.
Yeah, so you just take a look and like, wow, that Meowth really let himself go. Just eating cake and like...
That LeChunk is extra chunky.
Again, it'd be adorable to have the world's tiniest Sableye.
It's like a little pocket.
Yeah, right?
Pocket Sableye.
Like Kartana, that Ultra Beast, is literally a Ninja Star. Mm. Like, it is kind of funny just how small that thing is compared to the other Pokemon. But anyway, you know.
It's the alpha of that. It's like normal size.
It's the size of a dinner plate.
I saw some leaks, quotation marks, online. I only saw two little leaks. I don't know if these are accurate.
Okay.
But it would be interesting. One looks like a different form for Kitty Ursa. It was a different form. And then there was a blurry image of a flamingo.
A flamingo, huh? A
flamingo.
Okay.
So I don't know if those are real or not, but...
I think that would be within the realm of possibility, a flamingo Pokemon.
Yeah.
Why not?
Which area of the world is it supposed to be in?
Spain.
Were there flamingos in Spain?
Sure.
I don't know.
No idea.
Yeah. I'm not convinced Spain is a real place, by the way.
None of us have ever been to Spain.
Yeah, certainly not.
Yeah, it's not real because, I mean, I haven't been there, so you can't prove it.
They don't have crocodiles in Spain either. So,
by the way, they got trash cans though. So clearly. Americans will know this as the things that the Astros beat on during baseball games.
the Astro drums. If you guys, based on what we've seen so far, do you guys think this is like a big step forward for Pokemon games? Follow-up question, does it have to be?
I think no to both.
I mean, I think there's a lot of stuff going on. I'm excited to see what all they're doing. I mean, obviously. I don't know about it has to be a step up or anything like that. Because, you know, it's one of those things where how high did this mountain get? How do they just top it now? Like, it's like the fucking Marvel movies. Like, we just... saw them, like, blow up half a planet. Where are they going to fucking go from there? Like, dear God, like, calm down a little bit.
Wait, when did they blow up a planet?
No, I'm just throwing whatever out there.
No, have you guys seen that Thor movie yet?
No.
Hey, guys. I really want to talk about the end of it.
Okay.
And how pointless every MCU movie has ever been because I'm saying this movie.
Okay.
How pointless it is that they've been?
Yes. They've had some Deus Ex Machina moments, or like a third act, the thing shows up that solves everyone's problem. I've never seen them do this.
You have to have...
So bluntly.
Half the movies are about the magic glowy stone.
All right.
That will save them.
So you guys gotta see this Thor movie so we can talk about that.
You mean talking about like a Star Trek kind of thing where they're struggling and then the last 10 minutes are like, well, what if we just turn the flux capacitor the other way? Oh, that solves everything. Like that. You talk about like that kind of thing?
To an extent. Watch the movie and we'll talk about it.
I mean, I'm probably at this point I'm not watching until it's like out of theaters because I'm not going to a theater now.
Yeah. Not with that attitude.
No.
You want to see Top Gun?
Top Gun, oh my god. And I need to eat so much humble pie on that movie because I thought it was going
to
the seventh highest grossing movie ever. Yeah. Fucking Top Gun Maverick. Good for them.
It's good
that
you didn't put money on that.
I know, right?
Did you see it?
No. I don't give a shit about Top Gun. I don't either. It's just so fucking impressive that so many people did that seventh best grossing movie ever.
I didn't really even like the first Top Gun.
It's made double the money of that new Thor movie. Astounding. Yeah. Well done.
It's absurd.
I mean, yeah, it's a Tom Cruise movie. Makes big hit movies, and it's like Top Gun, so it's got kind of broad appeal. Like, everybody kind of wants to see that shit, so. I don't know. I'm not surprised it did well. I thought it was going to do well. That's neither here nor there.
I bring up the Pokemon question about if it's a big step forward or if it has to be.
I don't think it has to be. I don't think that it needs to achieve. And again, like I feel like they've just given us so fucking much Pokemon. If anything, I'd be cool if they pumped the brakes a little bit.
Yeah, I think...
All black and white. Just, here's 150. They're all brand new. No, you can't catch any of your old shit until you beat the Elite Four. Deal with it.
Like, was it Diamond and Pearl this year? Diamond and Pearl was this year. Arceus this year.
Diamond and Pearl was within, like... It was November.
November last year.
So okay. It'll be, like, almost exactly a year by the time this thing comes out. But the Arceus was January.
It has been a bit now since they had those Sword Shield expansions, but, like, honestly, there's just been a lot of Pokemon to play right now that already have another iteration of the game. It's cool. It's great. I'll play it. I will play it anytime they want to make a new one. I'm about it, and it looks fun and all that. I'm not saying I'm not pumped about this. It looks great, but at the same time, like, I'm not getting, like, goosebumps watching a trailer in this one.
Yeah, releasing a Pokemon game, even a new generation, doesn't really feel like an event. And it's not like this is a new phenomenon. A lot of these Pokemon games, since they came out back in 98, have been very clustered together. And they really are just kind of like this machine that's perpetually just churning out content. And I think it goes back to what we were talking about with, like, always wanting to capture, you know, the next batch of humans that has been produced. So they're constantly having to bring out new content to always be renewing their audience.
Well, there's, like, there's this multimedia thing now, though. Like, the cards are just huge again.
The TV show is still
going.
The
TV show, they make movies.
I don't think the cards are as big anymore. I think they turned down because we've had, like, a solid amount of cards in the store now.
But it wasn't like...
People have calmed down a little now.
But it wasn't like the kids. It wasn't the new audience that were ruining that for everyone. It was the old people. People like
always ruin, even with, like, action figures and shit like that. I mean, they're the ones keeping that business going, not the fucking children.
They're supposed to be fun things for kids, and it's the people who are going to grab them and resell them or keep them in their box to resell them later that just ruin things.
Yeah.
Because they've been sold this lie. They were sold this lie by, you know, marketing companies and collectors. Like, one day this will be worth something. And it probably won't. Those are little pieces of cardboard. They're not going to be worth anything. What was I about to say? Oh, there's a lot more positivity around Scarlet Violet than, you know, the Call of Toxicity. That was around, like, Sword Shield in particular because of not having every Pokemon imaginable available to you from the beginning.
Are they claiming there are people bitching about that yet?
No, and I don't think it'll be as much an issue because that Band-Aid has been ripped off and people are used to the idea that they won't get every single one.
Like, that's just too much.
I think it was a very tiny yet very vocal minority that was upset about that.
Yeah.
I think most people did not give a shit.
I had a coworker who was upset about it and he hasn't played a Pokemon game in like 10 years. I'm like, why the fuck do you care?
That's
funny. It's like, I want them all. I'm not going to play this because they don't have them all. But
you were going to
play
them anyway.
It's like, what the fuck is wrong with you?
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's funny because, like, no matter how much toxicity, like, Sword and Shield goes on to sell like 25 million units. Clearly, his boycott didn't make a difference.
Still a good game. Come on, yeah. It's fantastic.
There, I think a lot of there's a general vibe. Just general vibe is positivity, but there is a bit of discussion about like this being like a big step forward or not. That's why I asked you if it has to be. I don't think it has to be either. And I think a lot of the conversation about if this is a big enough step forward for Pokemon comes from just like the fact of the hardware that it's on. And this is a Switch, and we've like Breath of the Wild, huge step forward for Zelda, Mario Odyssey, big evolution from where Mario was with like Mario Galaxy, Mario Sunshine, that sort of thing. Even though kind of replowing the earth that was Mario 64, kind of take on that formula and evolving that one, like Fire Emblem Three Houses, like all of the like Animal Crossing, all of these
we have real estate to work with
now. Well, Sword and Shield was that game. Like this is really a refinement of what Sword and Shield did.
And Sword and Shield,
you're, again, keep in mind, like we're going from the Alolan region, mm-hmm. like on the DS, to now it's on the Switch. Like
yes, that was been on a major console other than handheld.
Right. This is kind of like the Pokemon console adventure that we wanted like 15 years ago, and we're just now getting it. And I think like it's not so much that people want a bigger scale. They want something that's totally revolutionary, like Breath of the Wild was for Zelda. Something that like ignored all of the conventions before and did something completely new.
That's not going to happen because they don't have 4-year life cycles on production cycles.
Right. It's been almost 6 years since Breath of the Wild came out. We're waiting on the sequel. The Pokemon Company is a churning machine. They're going to get out the next game.
Yeah, like I said, there will be 3 games within a 12-month period that they've released now.
3 major games.
Yeah.
So you think Breath of the Wild is going to be the next move forward? Like that's the big deal, or the new Breath of the Wild?
Do I think it's going to be a huge leap forward over Breath of the Wild 1?
Yeah.
No, I think it's going to be
a refinement.
Yeah.
Yeah, like Ryan said. I agree. I like that.
Yeah, I think that's kind of what we're going to see with this generation.
And I think that's what Pokemon does. Like, I don't know that we've ever gotten, like, the big leap. Every generation has been a refinement of the one before. And then they'll introduce new mechanics, but the...
And if you want to engage that topic, I still look back at X and Y and think that was a major leap forward.
I think it was a major leap forward in terms of like, a visual style, visual like presentation.
Gen 4 to Gen 5, again, is that refinement. It's not really... They didn't really change all that much. They just sort of knew what worked and just gave you this big brand new game. But I think when you go from 5 to 6, it fundamentally changes a lot of stuff. And then you go from 6 to 7, again, it's
regular DS to the 3DS from 5 to XY. So again, that's another console hop where it can do a lot.
I mean, I think the only major thing that changes is your presentation. You're still like you still got a region and you're catching Pokemon and you're doing gyms.
Yeah.
Like the core of the game stays the same. And don't get me wrong, like changing the presentation, changing the visual style can do a lot to refresh a series. And it did more than just change the presentation. It gives you like a much larger Pokedex than we had seen in a Pokemon game before. It broke it down by regions. And like here's your
Pokedex for this region. If a game makes 300 new Pokemon, Pokedex, it doesn't inherently make it a good game.
Goddamn. I'm actually dreading that this like might have more than 400 Pokemon in it.
You know.
Jeez, that's so many.
Yeah, and again, I think that's generally what you hear just from people when they talk about it. When you go on for Pokemon forums and stuff, is that you hear a lot of this backlash against X and Y for it looking and feeling so different than the previous generations.
They thought it was too different?
Yeah.
Absolutely. What a bunch of weirdos.
Yeah, I mean, that's generally people say that it's like a low effort. This is a common thing you will hear, that people say that as the series has gone on, they stopped caring and that they peaked at X and Y. Or no, sorry, they peaked at Black and White.
Well, don't get me wrong, I really like Black and White. Yeah. It's probably my favorite in the series. But to say like it peaked, or that they didn't make improvements on things, like that's just
preaching
ignorant.
To the choir, man. I agree. I do not agree with that sentiment that in any way Black and White is like the pinnacle of Pokemon. But that's what I'm saying. I think there's been a lot of the leaps I feel when I play like 6 to 7 and then into 8 certainly is huge compared to what I feel like when I go back and play Gen 2, 3, 4, and 5. Like it's all iterative. It all feels very much the next line with some tweaking and some changing, you know.
Then yeah, that's what
it's fine for this.
Yeah, I think it's fine for what they're trying to do. I don't know. I think that there are people who really like Pokemon and set their sights a little bit too high. Like, this is, it's going to be a fun game for what it is.
What do they want? Like, first-person survival horror?
Maybe, which would be fun.
But again, this isn't Marvel. They don't have to keep trying to one-up themselves.
Right, right. I think that,
Iron Man 1 ended up with two dudes in robot suits blowing up the roof of a building, and that was it. I mean,
that sounds perfect.
Like, that was easy.
There's like a need for not only one-upsmanship, but like a reinvention of what it is entirely. I don't think it needs to be that. Not every game franchise needs to be like this revolutionary thing with its next installment. And there seems to be like the, of course, a nostalgia. There's always a nostalgia for the first one that you played. And like wanting a game franchise to recapture what made that one so special to you with the newest one, that really has more to do with you and your perspective than it does the game. Because like you said, every Pokemon game is going to be somebody's first, and that's going to become their favorite and the one they're nostalgic for.
I'm not nostalgic for Red and Blue.
So you're dead inside.
Yeah.
I like Red and Blue.
I like it too, but I'm not like nostalgic. Like, oh, I remember the good old days of the Red.
Did I tell you I finished my run through of Yellow?
How'd that go?
That was fine. By the time I got to
the riveting story, John. Wow.
By the time I got to the
end, it's like I was there.
By the time I got to the end, I was like, I do not want to grind for this Elite Four. Does the rare candy trick still work? No, it did not.
Oh.
Yeah. So I had to grind, and I wasn't happy about it. Because there's no like high-level place to grind in that game. It's a lot of, okay, well, I go through Victory Road a bunch of times.
No Ty and Gabby to chase around.
No Ty and Gabby to chase.
No experience share.
The experience share is an experience all in that game.
There's an experience all in
There's an experience yellow? All. Mm-hmm. And... yeah, it just like divides up all the experience equally and makes things feel even slower. Neither here nor there. Anything about Scarlet Violet that we need to address before we're done here? Oh, the name of the school. The name of the school are pretty much the Spanish words for orange and grape.
Huh.
Once again, proving that Scarlet is the superior version.
Man, I'm going for grape.
How dare you?
I'm playing Pokemon Grape.
You're going to be... no.
Make that Pokemon use his wheels.
Further proving that you are dead inside.
Come on, he's got like rocket legs. Come on, that's awesome.
I was tempted for a very brief second today, and then I got over it. Like, do I need to get both versions so I can have my playthrough version and my version I keep resetting? No, I don't. No, I don't. One version, and that will
they
be fine.
They sell them in combo packs.
I know they do.
But it's the same price if you buy them individually, but still.
Do you work for them?
I work for Target, which sells it.
Anyway, I was trying to open the floor. Any closing thoughts about Scarlet Violet?
No, I'm excited to hear more information about it, but, you know, yeah. Like, they've made their sale. We have a fucking podcast about Pokemon. We're playing this shit.
Yep. I'm in.
What if you coward says you're not getting it? I'm going to be real upset.
I'm just saying, it better have every Pokemon. I mean, if it doesn't, that boy kind of the series.
We need a regional variant of Vanillish.
What would be great is if they just threw in Sonic or something. Here's Ness.
That's a person.
That's a bold move.
That's brave game making. Yeah. To capture this person and make it fight.
No, even worse than that, it's a little boy.
Yeah, it's a child.
Capture this child.
The rest of the game, its parents are looking for it.
Get in the ring with this dragon and fight this thing.
Right.
With your yo-yo, little bitch.
He's got a bat, too. It's a fair fight.
All right.
Next up is the mini show. I got a lot of games to talk about.
Very cool. We need to figure out a date for our Xenopod.
Yeah, we'll talk about Xenoblade a little bit. But then we'll do a big breakdown a different time.
In Xenopod.
Because I will tell you, Ryan, there's cooldowns.
Oh boy.
And there's no double jump.
Is there auto battle?
There are auto attacks, yes.
Oh my gosh.
But so yeah, might not be your thing.
Yeah, they did all of the things that I associate with that gimmick.
Trying to kill you and bury you out in the backyard.
That's why we're not going to talk about a lot in front of him.
So you don't have to murder him?
I don't want to subject him.
For what it's worth, when I saw the game that you were playing earlier, it looked like the kind of game you guys would like.
Yeah,
it looked like it was. They were doing Xenoblade-y type stuff.
It's like one of those complimentary insults. Like, your nose is awfully big, but it works for you. Like,
yeah. Or like... Well, I hear people at work saying it to each other all the time. Oh, I love that for you. Which to me seems like an underhand way of saying, like, yeah, that's great, but keep it away from me.
Yeah. This looks like the kind of game you would like.
It's the kind of game I like.
All the stuff that you guys enjoy with it.
I have to be in and out of menus after every battle. Love it. Love it so much. Yeah. That's something I'm imposing.
And it wasn't even like there's four different things. I saw that menu pop up. You've got like 12 different things that you can go to.
Absolutely. There's six different characters, and each of them have like 12 things to manage.
Yeah.
But but
there's still only three that are actually worth putting together in competitive way.
Well, you know, we're trying to find a balance to the party.
You use six at once.
Oh, you actually get to use all six.
All six are on the field at once, and you get to switch in between.
You get to watch all of them auto attack at the same time.
Oh, you get to? Yes. That is the perfect way of saying it. You get to.
You get the luxury.
The privilege.
You get to manage all those cooldowns. Oh, my God.
I think we should make Ryan sit in the Xenoblade pod.
Because it's going to be more of this. We're not going to be able to have actual. Yeah. We're not going to be able to get a word out with. Like, what? You get to use the arts and have to wait 5 minutes for them to recharge again? So.
You can talk about it all you want. It's fine.
We'll do a retro show. That'll be a good one, too.
Anything good this month?
Are you guys going to be pleased to know there's actually not a lot of music to talk about?
Thank God. That last
month. Only 30 albums.
about 30 worth mentioning.
I actually do. I do have a couple queued up that I'm going to listen to.
Okay. York's Vesper Teen?
Maybe. I'll tell you once after I look it up. But we're done here. We'll wrap it up with the mini show We're going to wrap it up with the official show at the end of the month because that's the last one we do. And then we'll start all back with the Pokemon show at the beginning of September. That's at the end.
So long.
See ya.